You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stans by stans. I'm Augie.
And I'm Kayla. All right, y'all. So today we are talking about Demi Lovato. We're going to talk about her place in pop music, our general feelings towards her, and her most recent album and her documentary. Make sure you guys tweet the hashtag FOAFpod while you're listening, because we always like to, you know, hear or I guess see your thoughts on the show. And so, yeah, we're happy to be back. Let's get it started.
All right, so as we just mentioned, we're going to be talking about Demi in this episode, simply because she had her new album that came out just a couple months ago, but more recently, her documentary on YouTube came out on October 17th. It was called Simply Complicated, and it's doing huge numbers. It's really fascinating whether you're like a stan of hers or not, and we were just like, we need to talk about this because we saw our timelines blowing up about it. So we invited our friend Amanda on to talk about Demi because we love hearing her thoughts about everything. And so she is here. Hi, Amanda.
Hey.
First of all, tell people your Twitter name again, because I feel like people will recognize you and they will realize they're now in the presence of a star.
It is Fantastic. You can find me in these Twitter streets.
Yes. Follow her if you aren't already. So before we get into our main conversation about Demi more generally, can you just talk a little bit about like what drew you to being interested in her like at all?
Yeah, like it's really random to talk about it now, but it's like I knew kind of who she was because like she would be in like random commercials on Disney, but I became like a little more interested when one of my friends introduced me to the Miley Cyrus and her friend and Selena and Demi Twitter beef.
Yes.
YouTube beef.
So that was such a time. Oh my God, I want to talk about that so deeply.
They made fun of her. So I was like, why are they making fun of these girls? Like, what did they do to them? So I like became a little more interested then. And I was like, oh, okay, she sings. And like, you know, I think that was back when La La Land was out, I think.
Yeah.
And those would be on TV. So I got into her from there. I like, it was kind of whatever. And then I created like a Twitter. I don't know what year it was, 2010, I want to say. And like, I don't know if you guys remember when you first started Twitter, like if you followed a celebrity, it would tell you who else to follow.
Yeah.
And so I followed, Taylor Swift and Selena Gomez. And then it told me to follow Demi. And like, it sounds weird to say now, but I became a fan more because of like her social media presence at the time. Cause she was just so funny and like relatable in a way that wasn't corny.
Right.
So, yeah. And then I just became, I love like big voices. So she just made me a fan because of that.
Yeah, and she had like a really interest, like she's always kind of had that big voice, which definitely did not match with what you were getting from like Disney stars during that time.
No.
You know, which I find really interesting, even like her counterparts at the time between Selena and Miley. But like if you take it back a little bit, even from like, remember when like they used to have Christy Carlson Romano from Even Stevens like singing in like the Circle of Life?
Oh my God, yeah.
Like that was, and like, you know, even Hilary Duff, like she had bops, but like she wasn't out here like singing.
She was no
out.
Vocalist.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I definitely think like with Demi, she ushered in this like new era kind of where she was like this, like a leading, like a real vocalist, I guess.
Yeah, literally. Like, and then like people would introduce me to other videos of her singing like a cover of Christina Aguilera's Mercy Me, which I love to this day. But I just loved there was something about her voice, like the strength in it and just the power behind it. And the stuff she was singing about, it didn't seem like she's being handed these songs to sing. Like, even if she was, you didn't know it at the time. It just seemed like she was like legitimately, she felt that way, or she, because she sang with like this passion, and I don't know, the lyricism was good. So
yeah, like Don't Forget to This Day is like, makes me emotional. Like that.
Literally,
track.
I was like, she it's was raining, only, so I was listening to her earlier, and I love that song.
She's only like 15 or so at when she was putting this out, and I'm like around the same age as her. We're all like same in our 20s. And yeah. So it was crazy to have that coming out of like a teen, because it definitely was like really mature.
Yeah, there was that song, and I liked La La Land because she was just, it was like she was shutting down all of the standards for the industry. I mean, who knows how much power she had back at that age, but again, you're a kid, so you're like, okay, cool, like she doesn't want to go with the norm, she doesn't want to be a Miley or whoever else, so it made you interested in her. She had a little bit of edge to her.
Right, and that was actually mentioned like in the documentary, but before we talk about that, I kind of want to just talk about like the place she holds in pop culture, like removed from like the Disney Channel days, and like between, I guess, the peak of her Disney Channel time to now, she's kind of been able to like stay relevant, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I to this day am just shocked in a way, and I don't know if I should be, that like her and Selena have been able to like maintain relevant, and even Miley, like I don't know, it's really like fascinating to me. I don't know what your thoughts are.
It's crazy, just, and I think it's that their fans grew with them, so like even if you weren't all the way checking for them, you still, oh, she's still doing something, she's making another song. Even if you weren't like gung-ho for them like you were at the beginning, that was something tied to your childhood or your adolescenthood, so you kind of still had that love for them. Because like I saw this week that Selena Gomez and Demi were at the same event, and like they took a picture together, and all of these stans on the timeline were like going off about them as though it was like 8 years ago, you know?
Right, and that's an OG friendship.
I think that was my relationship with her just from the get-go. It was just kind of like, yeah, I liked her from Disney Channel, but once she kind of left Disney Channel and I wasn't really paying attention to her all the way, it was kind of like every time she put something out, I'm like, oh, Demi Lovato has something out again. Or, you know, like it was just this kind of like consistent thing in my like music library, I guess. She was just kind of like this consistent thing for all of those years. And that's kind of still how I am with her. It's just like I don't really pay attention to her personal life and all those things outside of music too much, but every time she puts out a project, you know, I'm gonna at least go listen to it. So that was always my personal like relationship with Demi Lovato, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting, Amanda, what you said about like her fans kind of growing up with her. She was always there, even if I wasn't always checking for her. Basically, similar to what you guys are saying, which I think is like an interesting place to hold, because you're not like in people's faces so much that you're, that people become annoyed by you, but you're there just enough to stay relevant, which I feel like is something that not everyone can master.
Right. It's an interesting balance, especially, well, I think it's helped that her and Selena, pretty much all the Disney kids were like on TV as actors, but then moved into music and like being on everyone's radio stations at some point or another, like whether it was a summer or the winter or something. So they kind of were always around. Selena more so, I think, because she was in the public eye because of her relationships and stuff. But Demi, it's funny, I was thinking about it the other day, like I feel like she hasn't always been a household name necessarily, unless there were like younger people in the house. But she always like, you, people like are starting to give her more respect as a vocalist and stuff now, but it's just interesting, like, yeah, like how they have stayed relevant with, while not necessarily being like this big machine. Like when you think of Taylor, everyone knows Taylor.
Right.
But with them, it's like, okay, yeah, they, you know, I think their friendship also, like, that was like a, I don't want to say their selling point, but for a while, that's how people knew them as like a pair. And even like, I was a fan of her from her first two albums, and like, as she went through and kind of changed into a different type of artist, I started to not really check for her music as much as I did before, because it changed a lot. But you would always still check for her and be like, okay, I want to listen. I'm going to see what she's giving now.
Even did it change?
Maybe this doesn't sit with me.
Sorry, in what ways did it change?
It seemed more commercial. Like she wanted, like she had, I don't want to say it's like she had something to prove, but maybe her team or her label had something to prove, because like Here We Go Again, if you listen to that album, her second album, compared to like what album did she have, the album Demi, and even her album Unbroken, which is her third album, a lot of the songs are more geared towards radio and the mainstream, and the lyricism changed, and I think they stopped letting her write as many songs, so she was working with tons of other teams, like, okay, this is gonna hit, this is gonna stick. Like around when Neon Lights came out, I was like, okay, she's doing this, she has to do this for whatever, but I'm just not with it. Like,
wow, yeah.
Yeah, that era was trash.
Yeah.
Like, to say the least.
So fast forward now to her new album, Tell Me You Love Me, which came out this year. It came out in August, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on this most recent album? And then we can kind of get into the documentary.
I really like it. I like that it sounds like she's starting to find who she is as an adult artist. Mm-hmm. And that her voice has obviously changed and matured and just changed a lot over the years throughout what she's been through and stuff. But it seems like she's writing more from herself again, her own perspective, or somebody her age's perspective, instead of just her being handed a song. Mm-hmm. And I another thing with her music, because I feel like she feels like she has something to prove. So she's always singing really loudly.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
I have
My
to
goodness,
say, that,
yes.
I'm a fan of her. The songs that are like more chill, but like still, you know, showcase her vocals.
What are songs
mm-hmm.
like that?
So I love You Don't Do It For Me Anymore, even though it's
yeah.
kind of loud.
I love that one.
I love a ballad. I love anything that's slower from her, because mm-hmm. I feel like that's her strength.
Yeah.
I actually really like Sorry Not Sorry. Like, the first time I heard it, I was like, all right, she's loud. And then the second and third times I heard it in the car, I was like, hey,
it's catchy
it
as fuck. I listen to it almost every morning now.
I love that. I love Concentrate, which is a little more mature for her, but mm-hmm. it's good. And Cry Baby, because it reminds me of, like, old Demi, like how mm-hmm. Here We Go Again, when she was more of a rock pop type of person.
Gotcha.
So I like that she incorporated that into the new era, I guess, where she keeps saying, you know, I want to do soul, I want to do R&B.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that she kept that edge to her.
Yeah, that's definitely where she shines. But I have to be completely honest, I mm-hmm. don't think I realized she had even released an album until I watched the documentary.
Like, I'm sure, like, I feel like a lot of people
yeah,
kind of like,
it's so
you know,
weird.
You knew Sorry Not Sorry was out, but it wasn't a big push, I don't think.
Right, and I don't know. I feel like generally I've been really checked out, especially this summer. But something I will say, though, is that, like, I did watch the documentary, and, like, it did exactly what it was supposed to do, which, like, not only
mm-hmm.
did it put the album on my radar, but it made me go and, like, listen to it. And it's really good. And so I think, like, now, what, like, 3 months after the fact or so, it's like, I'm sure now gaining even more traction, because I think, like, last I checked, the, you know, the YouTube documentary got like 8 million views or something crazy,
mm-hmm.
which, like, a lot of, you know, things you put on TV nowadays aren't doing those numbers. And so I think, like, for like a promotional move, like, I feel like this was such a smart strategy to, like, release this documentary.
Absolutely. And, like, as a fan, I haven't been paying as much attention to her, like, over the past couple of years, like, you know, just because a lot of her personal, not her personal struggles, but her personal, like, the stuff she would even say on social media just seemed like it was really off-putting. And, like, how can you root for someone who's always trying to argue with somebody?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. She used to get on my, like, nerves. Like, last year and maybe, like, 2015 as well, I used to be like, please keep her off of my timeline. Like, what the fuck is she talking about, like, all the time, fussing with people? For mm-hmm. what?
Yeah, I think
for
I
what?
Had to unfollow her.
Like, get in the studio, release your music, like,
maybe that's why I didn't realize
sing.
She was out putting out an album. I think I unfollowed her on Twitter because of
I
some
think
shit.
I blocked her. I didn't want her on my timeline at all. Like,
yeah.
I completely removed her from my timeline. I, like, would mute anyone who would retweet her, like, bring her on or quote her on. Because I was like, why is she, like, I understand she's going through, but, like, why public be like... Like, she was fighting with Taylor over something last year, but not, like, fighting directly, of course. But I guess Taylor Swift donated to Kesha, and, like, Demi felt a way about it because she felt she should
yeah.
be up at the State House.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, that
sis,
was so
you have to
extra.
Pick
it's so insane.
Like,
it's so insane. What were y'all's, like, general thoughts about the documentary, though?
It was eye-opening in a way. Like, even as a fan who thought they kind of knew, like, a little bit about her, I learned a lot more, and I loved the shots of, like, her in the studio recording the album.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Kayla?
I think I liked the album parts, the parts where we could kind of see her in the studio. I've always appreciated artists taking you in
mm-hmm.
behind the scenes and really seeing the process of how they record their music. And I think, like, from a fan's point of view, I loved how open she was.
Mm-hmm.
She could have, like, skated around certain topics, but she really dove in and told it like it is. And I think that's rare for pop stars to do. Because, I mean,
yeah.
people brought
yeah,
it up on
it
Twitter
like,
before
I
that. Like,
Demi
isn't the only Disney star who,
like,
did drugs,
like,
right?
She
but
being...
she's the only one real enough to admit it. and let people know that that lifestyle is not easy. And so I think that, you know, she's real for that. Like, I give her street points for that, because like Selena is never going to come out and say she did coke. Miley made it very obvious her last era, but like, you know, they're never going to come out and say, yes, I was a cokehead and this is what it was for me or whatever, and I struggle with it, whatever. Like, they're not going to do that because it's going to fuck up their reputation.
Right.
But I appreciated how real she was. But there was one thing that really stood out to me, and it was just the fact that they didn't really touch on where her mother was during the time that she was struggling. Because the whole time I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck, where the fuck is her mom? Like, the whole time.
Wait, Amanda, I saw you tweeted about this, because I had the same thoughts, and then I saw Amanda's tweet, and I was like, okay, there's the tea. Didn't you say that, like, her mom checked into rehab, like, not too long after Demi first checked in?
Yes. From what I recall, like, the first time she went into rehab, that was, like, before Skyscraper and all that came out, and I swear, like, because she used to put, like, all her stuff on social media. If it wasn't directly, like, her saying, hey, this is what I'm going through, it would be, like, something hinting towards that or whatever. But I think I remember her saying something like, oh, I'm so proud of my mom for, you know, handling her demons or something, and, you know, going to treatment like right after she got out back then. And I don't know what her mom struggled with. I'm guessing it was probably something similar, but I know her mom, something in regards to an eating disorder, but something could have been substance too, I'm not really sure. But it seemed like her parents allowed a lot of stuff to happen to her, happen with her, I should say, when she was a teenager, because they liked the lifestyle that she provided by what she was doing as a job.
That age-old story.
Yeah.
Those parents who just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, one thing I will say, though, I definitely was put off by the fact that, like, the entire huge chunk of the documentary where they delved into that part of Demi's life where she was dealing with addiction and everything, I definitely was like, wait, where the fuck is her family? But, like, especially her mom and her, like, you know, dad. But part of me is, like, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, maybe, I mean, there's no way that the people working on this documentary didn't interview them about this. Unless, like, there's a world in which, like, her parents were like, I don't want to discuss this. I don't want to be on camera talking about this. Maybe they don't want to be as honest about that time as Demi was. Or maybe they did do interviews with her parents and it just wasn't interesting. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's still Hollywood. So whatever is, like, most interesting is what they're going to throw in. But as far as, like, what you were saying, Kay, about, like, just how no other pop stars are going to be as blunt as Demi was, I just really want to just shout her out for staying consistent throughout her whole career with being, like, the quote-unquote edgy one. Like, I feel like she always has been, you know, even though as she was dealing with her addiction, like, she had to deal with some stuff in private and, like, you know, people will criticize her for not being her true self during that time, whatever, whatever. But, like, as far as, like, her image goes, even from the Disney Channel days, like, there was never a time where it was, like, the, you know, there, even during Disney Channel, like, she was edgy for Disney Channel. And, like, they just continued to become more open and more open. So I, like, can definitely give her props for that. But even with the freedom she had to be quote-unquote edgy, like, it was still really sad to see how, like, the legal constraint she was in under those contracts, like, kept her from, like, being normal and feeling like she had any freedom at all. Like, that to me was, like, really sad. And also just, like, it was almost uncomfortable how honest she was being at the same time. Like, both her and, like, I think it was, like, her manager and, like, the people who were working with her team. Like, part of me was just, like, so y'all really, y'all keep saying, like, oh, this is it, we just thought it was, like, normal teenage rebellion. And I'm just, like, normal 17-year-olds aren't out here, like, doing coke or, like, punching people in the face or.
Right, like, I wasn't.
Like, I'm not smuggling coke in my asshole, like, at 17, sorry.
Or, you know, and so I'm just, like, right, how, like, on earth, and this is why we can't let men run anything. Because, like, I'm just, like, are you fucking kidding
me? Right, they will bypass everything just to be, like, well, you know, she's just having a good time, rocking and rolling. Like, what?
Yeah, that
wasn't my
it. No. Someone on the timeline said this, and it stuck with me. It was, like, you know, they started being concerned when her behavior started affecting their bank accounts.
Yeah, and that's,
like,
fucked up.
Honestly, they didn't address that, I don't think, in the documentary explicitly, but, like, that seems very real and valid. Like, I'm sure they would have let her go as far as she needed to go before intervening if, like, she was able to, like, stay sober on stage at least.
That's literally what it seemed like. Like, she, and her manager was really open about it. But I guess, I mean, he was directly with her throughout all of it. But it was just crazy to me hearing them say the kind of stuff like, oh, she almost died. Like, and you let it get that far. Like, if she was using before she even got in the industry, I didn't realize it went that far. But how come it took till she was, what, 18, 19 to
That's like four whole years, like, of you doing coke and shit. And people step like, in when you're, like, literally about to die. That's
right,
way
like,
too
oh,
late.
Maybe we should. But I guess they also probably felt, because it seems like kids in the industry get, you know, to make adult decisions all the time. Once they're making that much money and in that career. So it's like they were dealing with an adult, like, oh, well, she doesn't want to get help. I'm not going to help her. And that seems like really dangerous. And I wonder, like, what if her mom was on the road with her all the time, or if it was just her and her manager. I know, I think her stepdad used to travel with her a lot, or her dad. That's who she calls her dad. But like, what, I don't know, like, no one was directly there. She didn't have an assistant that was like, hey, that's weird. Like, partying is one thing, but all of that that she was doing, I'm sure that her behavior was erratic from earlier on than them seeing her almost pass out before she went on stage, or like, there was, she just had so much going on, like, substance abuse and then an eating disorder. Like, literally, I remember, if you, I don't know if she deleted her old tweets, but like, there was a time that she tweeted, like, oh, guys, she used to tweet it all the time, like, I just rocked so hard, I just threw up after I stepped off stage. Like, what? No one, hello? Like, that's, I don't know. It's just
crazy.
A lot.
No,
but
yeah,
I appreciated how open she was being, but it's really sad to see how far it got. And just know that, like, there are probably other people in that industry going through it, but not thinking they have an issue with it or something.
Right. That's like the blessing and the curse of her having experienced that so young, is that now at least she's only like 24, 25, but is like at least on the road to recovery, which is like really great. But I think like what shocked me the most, because I think especially getting into some of the later years of Disney Channel, like, I just remember, like, the end of, like, in the final years of her being on, like, Sunny with a Chance and stuff, I think that's when I first started learning of, like, what was going on with her, especially with the drug issues and everything. And I remember, like, the news story of, like, the incident in, like, South America when she was on tour with the Jonas Brothers. Like, I remember reading about that and being, like, really scared and freaked out, but like, I again hadn't been following her career super closely, so I don't even think I remember the details from that time, but I do remember hearing about it. So then now in the documentary, like, learning like just what was going on the inside, like everything from, you know, hearing her tell the story of how she like wanted to fight her, like literally punched her dancer because she ratted on her about taking Adderall, and then like the fact that they had like the Jonas Brothers, or like at least Nick and Joe in the documentary, talking about their side of things during that time, and how Nick was convinced that he had like basically gotten to Demi's good side and like was helping her get back to like the better, you know, the Demi that they once like knew and loved. That was just like so sad, and I was just like, in my mind, again,
I can't imagine being that young.
I was just thinking that that's so heavy.
That's so
I can't
heavy
imagine
to be
being
16,
17.
And we're just out here rocking to their music and like enjoying it, and they are literally dealing with life or death situations out there.
Yeah.
So as a fan, like, I remember seeing the little report about her punching the backup dancer in the face, and like, you know, you're young, so like everyone online was just like laughing and sending around pictures of the girl, like, oh well, she must have done something to piss her off. But like, to find out that she was so addicted to something that she wanted to punch whoever was going to take that away from her, like, that's insane.
Yeah.
And just also the Jonas Brothers, I remember watching their interviews and stuff, like, I now that I think about it, I was like really a Camp Rock fan. Watching the interviews with the three brothers and her, Kevin was so annoyed by her, like, in every interview leading up to the Camp Rock tour. Like, he wanted to wring her neck.
Damn.
And I can only imagine what she was like behind the scenes. Like, outwardly, they were just like, can she shut up? Like, can, like, we know you have to be here, but can you not speak out? Because mm-hmm. it seemed like she was a little bit, like, snappy and, like, rude to interviewers. Like, she was just over it and wanted to go to the next gig so she could probably get her next fix or whatever.
Right. Yikes. What, Kevin really? Was probably like, they don't even turn my mic on anyway.
I know. Poor Kevin.
This is some bullshit.
Hashtag poor Kevin. Look.
So the only thing that really made me uncomfortable about the documentary was when they talked about Wilmer because he's just, I just don't see it for that relationship. I think that she has some really unhealthy feelings toward him. And I think that she really needs to work towards like letting him go. Mm-hmm. They met when she was like 18 or something. Did she meet? They met when she was 17.
Yeah.
That 17 was... and he like waited. He was like, I waited until mm-hmm, she was 18 mm-hmm. and then we started dating immediately. And it's just like, and he was 29 at the time. I just thought that was
they
really
tiptoed
weird.
Around that so
yeah,
carefully in the documentary.
I didn't like that.
With like Demi being like, this is the exact day we met, and yes, yeah, I was 17, mm-mm. and yes, mm-mm. Wilmer did not want anything to do with me, but as soon as I turned 18, that's when we got together. Like, she, like, I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all.
That's
like,
some bullshit.
There's no way. Like,
it seemed really rehearsed.
Absolutely.
Like, okay, this is what we're going to tell them. This is what we're going to tell everyone when we get married. This is how we're going to tell our kids that we met. Like, girl.
One thing I will, like, that definitely made me uncomfortable. And I'm, you know, I honestly feel indifferent towards them. Like, it's not my favorite couple, but also it's like, I really couldn't care less about them as a couple at the same time.
Yeah.
So, but like, seeing that was really interesting just to see how deeply, I guess, she felt that she was in love with him. And then also just watching her admit that, like, that relationship had to end because she needed to learn how to like find happiness and be secure by herself. I think like that's an important lesson that like everyone needs to learn, because like there's no way you can be in a sustainable relationship with a completely different human being with their own set of problems if like you don't have your own shit right. And so
yeah, but in the same breath she still said, I still will never love anyone
yeah,
like
yeah.
I love
I mean,
him.
Yeah, I'm like, hoping like with therapy and prayer she'll get through it. Yeah, it definitely seems like a toxic relationship, especially since, I mean, she did meet him like as she was dealing with all that bullshit. So also like, where was he? Like, what was he doing as she was, you know, dealing with all of that?
I'm probably purchasing her alcohol. Mm-hmm.
So,
but
he was
I
of age, so
it seems unhealthy for a number of reasons. I think when I first started seeing pictures of them together when she was 17, I was like, I just remembered seeing stuff forever ago of him like dating like Mandy Moore and I think Ashley Simpson or some other young person younger than him at the time. Like, I think it was like he had a thing about dating women before they turned 18, or girls I should say, and just exposing all their business when they broke up. So I was like, oh god, I don't want that to happen for her. That's, she already has enough going on. And it seemed like I expected that to happen, and they were together for like forever, but I don't think it was healthy for her to have been in the same relationship with somebody from 17 to almost 25, like, mm-hmm. and him of all people, it's, like, I don't know.
Like, fucking fast from that 70s show.
Right, like, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he seems creepy to me. Yeah. Usually you just get a vibe from people, and, like, some of her, like, hardcore fans would say things like, they would never break up because she tied, like, her stability to him, so I was like, well, that can't be good.
Yeah, no, it definitely didn't seem healthy, and I'm hoping she can stay away for long enough.
Yeah,
because that stressed me out for sure.
Oh, you know what I thought was cute? Towards the end when she was kind of talking about like life now mm-hmm. and how she's single and dating and getting to know people, and like she seemed like her spirit was a little lighter. Like, she just was happy to branch out and get to know different people who may be famous or maybe not mm-hmm. not be famous, but she's like enjoying herself, and it seemed like she probably had a while before she could actually go out and enjoy herself without being tied to drugs or alcohol or something. Right. So I thought that was cute.
Yeah, I think like at the end of the day, like, I'm definitely rooting for her, and I like, again, we feel like we grew up with her. I actually mm-hmm. have seen her live before, and she was really great. Like, I think at the end of the day, in my heart of hearts, like, I definitely want what's best for her, even though it's not, like, actively on my mind, because I'm not a huge, mm-hmm. huge stan. But I think, like, she is a good person and is super talented and has some shit to work through, but, like, all of us do. So I can't really, like, put her down.
That's a word.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, so shout out to Demi.
She did that with the documentary, and I think
it was so good.
I didn't really like pay attention. Like I said, like the last couple of years, I kind of just phased her out. Like she hasn't song on the radio, cool. But it was interesting to see. It seems like her team is really working to kind of build a brand or something for her, so that she can do whatever she wants through her adulthood and like present herself how she wants to with her music, so that the music matches up to her always saying, you know, I want to win a Grammy. I want to be recognized for my work. They have a lot of content now. Like it didn't seem like, cause she used to be with Hollywood Records from like her old albums, and it didn't seem like they put the same effort forth. So whoever she's with now is doing a good job.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really interesting. It definitely feels more authentic this time around than it did. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, was it the Unbroken era? I think.
Skyscraper and stuff. Yeah,
like that was definitely like a moment where it was like, I, you know, have been through some shit. I'm not gonna tell you all the details right now, but just know that I've been through it, and I want to make sure that you're empowered through my music. And I think like what's happening now is that like she's opened up a bit more, also has taken more control over her sound and what is coming out of her mouth, just like as a person, not just a singer. And it just feels like more authentic, and I find it really interesting. Like, it was interesting like watching the documentary and like realizing the timeline of everything, like how they mentioned like she was living in a sober apartment, like group house, while she was
crazy.
Judging on X Factor, which we like all watched that season,
which I knew because I had a feeling. I didn't know, of course, but I had a feeling.
Eva correspondent.
All of the what is it called? Oh, you know how like I don't know if you guys remember, but on X Factor they went to like judges' houses, which usually were like rented homes or something. Mm-hmm. Hers was like a weird like loft. Mm-hmm. That didn't look like anyone's house. It looked like a meeting room, like a recreation center or something. So I was like, she doesn't have a house for people to invite. Okay, well.
Wow. Yeah, I never connected those dots. But yeah, like between that and then what really shook me about the timeline was the American Idol performance, and how her manager was talking about how she was like high as fuck or hungover or something. She was like hungover and had been throwing up on the way there, and like it was just like a complete mess. And like you said, like Demi screams, like especially in a lot of her singles, like they're loud, and so like that means her performances are usually like really high energy. And like she, I don't know how she did that. Like I can't will myself to move.
I don't know if it's messy to say, but I kind of commend her for like holding it together to be on stage performing while all that was going on internally. Like I watched, because one of her fans obviously like they went back and they backtracked and they found the video of the performance. I think she did Give Your Heart a Break, and you couldn't tell there was anything going on, like from what I saw. And it's crazy that she was like vomiting before, she was hungover. Like I cannot do anything hungover, so.
Same.
You know what was hella unnecessary before we finish? Those Amy Winehouse clips they put in there, that was very unnecessary. We didn't need that.
No, at all.
We did not need to see Amy Winehouse like falling down on stage and stuff. That was super unnecessary. Like, I get it, but like, no. Yeah. They could have just mentioned it, right? So like, oh, I loved Amy Winehouse. You know, I wanted to be like her, blah, blah, blah. But to show those clips, I'm just like, that's kind
of
disrespectful.
Yeah, there
I didn't
were a
like
lot of moments where
the imagery was a lot.
Yeah, well...
Well,
that's our Demi combo. Yeah. Amanda, thank you for talking about all of this with us. But
anytime.
You're staying for Flops and Faves, right?
Yes.
Yay. Okay. Let's do that.
All right. Now we're going to get into our Flops and Faves. And if this is your first time listening, that is our favorite thing of the week and our least favorite thing of the week. And as always, I'm going to let you go first, Gigi.
Well, actually, I'm going to let Amanda go first because she's the guest. So let's do that towards A. Okay. So Amanda, what are your flops and faves?
Okay. So I'll do my flop first. It's not like a big thing, but like one flop of mine is collaborations that are unnecessary. Like I'm kind of over... And seeing artists collaborate for the sake of like their label wanting to capitalize on someone's popularity instead of like voices that actually flow together or vibes that actually go together. Like I think it came out a while ago, but I was on Instagram, so I noticed it. Kehlani and Lil Yachty, maybe have a song with Calvin Harris. And I feel like maybe Kehlani should have just been on that song by herself. Like Lil Yachty didn't, or was it Lil? I think it was.
Yeah, it was Lil Yachty.
Okay. I don't think
he said something like, I think about you every time I eat pizza or something on that song.
Right, like, as soon as he came in, I was like, is this a duet? Like, what? I don't even need this. So that's my thing. And I think stan culture is influencing that, which is really unfortunate. But we can do without that. Like, find a rapper that actually wants to rap on a song with you. Not that Kehlani song specifically, but just pop stars doing it too, when they have a random-ass rapper talking about God knows what. Like, Fifth Harmony released a He Like That with French Montana. I don't know what he's saying, like, to this very moment.
Oh, my God. I still haven't listened to that, but can I just say the most annoying collaboration of this entire year, which fits exactly with what you're saying, and I feel like this was my flop at one point, Young Thug on Camila's Havana. I'm just like, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, aside from just the fact that this, like, collaboration doesn't flow, like, literally, I don't understand why we're putting Havana and East Atlanta together. It's only because they rhyme. And, like, I that's not enough for me. There's no story here. Like, it literally, like, I just, it makes me mad every time I hear it. Every single time. Like,
I have yet to hear the song in full, so I'm really appreciative of that. Because when I hear it, I hear her tone. I'm like, oh, no, not doing that. But, like, I haven't heard that part at all. And I heard she has another song that has Quavo on it. I haven't heard that either. I haven't heard his part on it. So I feel really blessed and really thankful that I didn't get to that section of the song. But yeah, it's just unnecessary. And I know for her specifically, it seems like a street cred kind of thing. Which is like,
worst
okay, girl,
reason to collab.
That's what you're
trying to give you, like, I think you said this actually. She's trying to give you Cuban Rihanna.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, look at me. I can, like, roll with the gangsters.
Right. I have a little edge to me. But sis, that's not what you said.
Listen, we're not even going to go there.
Yeah.
Listen.
But yes, that's a really good flop.
So collaboration.
I agree.
Not a fan of that. My fave, this is really random because it's not, like, anything recent. But I'm really liking Paramore's new album lately.
Ooh,
like,
yes.
Maybe because it's fall and we're transitioning into that time of year. But I'm really a fan. I've been listening to that a lot.
After Laughter, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that definitely is one of my favorite albums of the year. It was so, so good.
It's very nostalgic in some parts.
Yeah, and, like, there's definitely some songs because I feel like I haven't really watched many interviews with them, but I feel like this is something they generally do and, like, definitely did on this album where, like, it sounds like a really happy, cheery song, but the lyrics are, like, anxiety is killing me and I want to die.
Yes.
Like, and I'm just like, wow, anxiety, but make it sound like pop.
And if you're going to be going through it, you might as well go through it and sound happy about it.
Yeah.
There you go.
True that. Thank you, Amanda. I think that was our first, like, guest flop and fave.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, but don't go because we still have to discuss ours.
Sorry.
So my I think I'll start with my flop. Yeah. I went to Aminé's concert this week. He is not my flop. He was great, amazing performer. My flop, two things from that show. One, his opening act is terrible. His name is Tokyo, but spelled T-O-W-K-I-O. And he is just so bad. Like, his music is trash. He had his mic with, like, auto-tune at one point. It was just so bad and, like, didn't want to be there. Anyway, he is my flop just because, like, Aminé is so great that it made me sad that that was who was opening for him. Like, they just could have had a regular-ass DJ up there and I would have been fine.
A bad opening act can really sour the
It just, like, messes up the mood. And, I mean, there was alcohol being served, so, like, at least I could have a drink and, like, calm my nerves a little bit. But it was just, like, he's just so loud. I felt like such an old, like, lady. I was just like, why are you yelling? But, yeah, that was, like, part one of my flop. Part two is just, like, couples at concerts, especially general admission concerts, who, like, just make out during the concert.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, y'all need to please, like, leave. Like, literally.
Like, did they just need a soundtrack to it? Or
like, I'm like, you don't need to do that here. Like, I don't know what the motivation is. I'm generally, like, not into PDA, but it's just like we're in a GA venue and we're all packed, crammed into this small space. Like, okay, I love that you're, like, sticking close together because it, like, gives us more space. But like, it's just disgusting to have to see that right in front of me, like right in front of my salad as I'm trying to like watch a show. So that those are my that's my flop. And
quick story on that. That happened to me at the SZA concert, and the couple, they were kissing, but they were also smoking weed, and the girl actually passed out before the concert started, and they had to move. So that was, it kind of worked out in our favor.
It's a blessing. That's great. Because
that's not, like, good for them, but it was kind of good for me because it was just, you know, whatever. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so my fave is very simple, and it's basically just, like, holiday season, and that includes Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. I basically am a huge fan of just the holiday season, and I am super corny and will like do everything that each holiday asks of me, whether it's like carving a pumpkin, watching Halloween Town 20 times in a row because I don't watch anything scarier than that, like doing all the Thanksgiving food, like Christmas, I will be rocking like all of my favorite Christmas songs. So for me, it's just like, it keeps me happy. It reminds me of like home and being with family and gets me like really excited. So holiday season is my fave as we like gear up for Halloween, especially. I'm like really excited, even though I don't know what my costume is going to be, but we'll figure it out. But yeah, that's my fave.
Okay, so my turn. My flop, I'm going to try to consolidate, okay, because it's kind of long. But so this just came to me. I feel like my flops always present themselves to me like right before we start recording. So Nicki Minaj was just on Twitter talking about stuff that she talks about, pretty much just like displaying her insecurities on the timeline once again, like for the 30th time this year. Mm-hmm. And so my flop kind of just goes to her and her fans just like shaking at the slight competition she has had all year. And like supposedly she's working on her best body of work. And as someone who would say that I was once a fan and who was once like always checking for her, I'm quite tired of her now because I feel like I'm getting more of her complaining about the culture and whatever more than I'm getting actual music from her. And it's like, we're almost in 2018 and she's like, the only thing I've heard from her this year is like complaining besides that song with, what's that guy's name? Rake It Up. Yeah, that song. So like, I just feel like, so pretty much on Twitter, she was saying, she's been in the game for 10 years and nobody would compare a new rapper like Cardi to, an old rapper if she was a guy. So, but that's just not true because when Drake and Kendrick and J. Cole first came out, like, and they had really good reception to their mixtapes and first albums and stuff, people were constantly comparing them to Nas and Jay-Z and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that was when they were new to the game. And it's like, that's just what happens when someone new comes along. They say, oh, is this person the new such and such?
Right.
And so I just feel like she's just constantly showing her insecurities and her fans are not making it any better because they kind of like buck her head up and say, yeah, they wouldn't do this if you were a guy, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, there are so many sexist things you could actually complain about in the business, in the industry, and it would be accurate and it would be valid or whatever. But that one thing, comparisons, those things happen all the time. Like I said on Twitter earlier, you know, we think Stan Wars last forever, but anytime LeBron James is in his 15th season, for the last like 10 years, people have been arguing that he's better than Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so they've been doing this since he was a rookie. So it's just like comparisons happen. And I think that Nicki Minaj just needs to work on her art and get it out so she can have something else to talk about.
I was actually wondering, because I saw like her posts on like Twitter and Instagram, and I was like, what triggered her to have this?
Probably one random tweet about Cardi is the new Nicki or something like that. So yeah, that's my flop. So my fave is pretty simple. I just want to shout out everyone who appreciates the art of floppy bacon. I think that it is very... It's a staple in breakfasts across the nation, across the world. We do not appreciate crispy bacon on this side.
Wow. So yeah, that's my favorite. That is a hot take.
Oh, I thought that was like a brand or something.
That's
no,
a
no,
hot
no.
take.
Floppy bacon, just
I don't
cooked
know.
All the way.
I personally
I don't
do
eat
not
bacon,
agree.
So I didn't know.
I don't agree, but I'll let you have
what?
It. I'll let you have
You're
it.
You're a crispy bacon.
I'm a crispy bacon girl.
See?
There's something about that crunch that just does it for me. Kayla, I'll let you live with your weird opinions. We still love you.
oh, God.
Amanda, you're the best. Thank you so much for
Thank
being
you for coming
here.
On.
Oh, my God.
Thank
you
guys
you
for inviting me.
A joy. It was an honor, honestly. Like, we need to do this more often, though, for real.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, anytime you want to discuss divas or anything.
Whenever we have a Rihanna episode, you're
listen,
coming.
Oh, my God.
Listen.
Please.
We have to. Hands down. It's done. It's decided. It's decided.
I have to prepare for it now. I just have a lot to say.
There's so much to say.
Shout out to Dion, a.k.a. your girl DJ Magic. She produces all the music that you hear in the beginning and end of every episode. Like I said, you can follow her at your girl DJ Magic on both Twitter and SoundCloud. Keep up with all her mixes, and if you're in like DC or Atlanta, like hit her up to DJ your event. She's really dope.
And if you want to follow the show, you can follow us at The Fan Podcast on Twitter, and our personal Twitters will be in the description box. And you can also follow Amanda at Fentistic, like fantastic, but Fenty. And so that's it.
Yeah, thank y'all for listening. Bye.